Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our lives. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Tonight, I want to teach you on dimensions of intimacy. One of the major things that validates our existence is the depth of our intimacy with God. You know, one of the questions I had when I started growing in God and studying the Word of God was, God is called God. He doesn't need anything to be God. So what is his gain in all of this equation, this system that he has built? What does he stand to gain? What? Because every time we come to God, he's blessing us, empowering us. What exactly is his own gain in this equation? Because he is also a business being. He doesn't do things just for nothing. And God began to show me some scriptures. And one of the scriptures God showed me is Deuteronomy 32 verse 9. He said, for the Lord's portion is his people. He said, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. What God gains in the equation is the relationship that he has with us. Because he's a being of love. It was love that motivated creation. The Bible speaking in Revelation 4:11, when the elders were talking, you know, the elders are the custodians of the secrets of God. And there was something they said. They said, all things were created for thy pleasure. So God created this universe just to have intimacy with us. As he interacts with us, as he enjoys the intercourse and the intimacy that he has with us, he is fulfilled. And that is what brings validation and essence to our existence. And so intimacy is a heavy molecule in the spirit. And so any Christian that wants to make the most out of his existence must understand how to journey in the corridor of intimacy. And that is why tonight I just want to show you three dimensions of intimacy. Because I've also come to realize that one of the major problems of Christians is that they don't understand what it means to have intimacy with God. And because they don't understand it, they don't know how to grow in their walk with God. The Bible said, Enoch walked with God and was not. Now, this guy perfected intimacy so much that a point came, God said, come. He said, Enoch walked with God and was not. And it's not just that he vaporized. He said, God took him. This guy had known how to touch the heart of God so much that God collected him from among men and said, don't die. Come in this your form. The way you are like this, come. I want to keep you like this for eternity. You have known something. You know how to access my heart. You know where to touch to bring joy and pleasure to me. So come. You shouldn't live among men. You are a blessing to men. They don't know. Now, in the days of Enoch, was the time when men were living for 900 years, 700 years. But God said, no, we can't wait until he come to heaven. And he climbed Enoch to heaven to meet him, to stay with him. Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. That's how relevant this guy became with God. God, he knew something about intimacy so much that God could not even take the risk of sending him out anymore. Don't go and preach again. I know you are preaching righteousness. Because Enoch was a preacher of righteousness. He said, come to heaven. Come and live with me. This thing you are doing, even angels don't know it. Stay here. You know, hope you know the reason the elders stay with him is because they are the ones who know how to touch his heart. The Bible says day and night, they cast their crown. They fell on their faces and they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. When they started it, they say, get thrones. He put thrones around them and kept them there. Don't leave this throne room. Other creatures now discover that this thing is a secret. So the four beasts now stood day and night. So anybody who knows intimacy, God brings him close. Don't live here. Stay here. So if you want to have access to the courts of God, to the assembly of Zion, then you must know something about intimacy. And you know, one of the greatest powers that you can wield as a mortal is the right to stand in God's presence. In fact, the Bible speaking, it says, blessed is the man that God causes to approach him. That God causes you to approach him alone. He said, it's a blessing. When Gabriel was talking to Zacharias, he didn't say, I'm an archangel. He said, I am Gabriel that standeth before the presence. Because I am Gabriel and I stand in the presence, be dumb. And he went dumb. That means there are powers allocated to intimacy that we don't know. It could also mean that the reason the quality of our lives seem to be so helpless and vulnerable is because we don't saturate ourselves sufficiently from the presence of God. Now, before I show you the dimensions of intimacy, let me show you five benefits so that you will take it serious. Number one, what's the first benefit of intimacy? Intimacy is the gateway for the receipt of power of life. A man who does not have intimacy with God will first of all not touch life, and even if he touches it, he will not grow in life. The quality of his life will not be enhanced. When a man begins to walk with God closely and in intimacy, his life and his life force begins to blossom. Even in the natural, you know, all of us have the animal life, but the quality of your life, who just wakes up, sleeps on the bed from morning till night, cannot be compared to somebody who wakes up in the morning, goes to a gym, exercises himself, sits down, reads books, and is tasking his mind. After a few years, you will discover that the guy who doesn't exercise will start struggling with high blood pressure. Because even the bloodstream will start being choked by cholesterol. And he will start having a lot of crisis. He might even spiral into obesity. He becomes plumpy. He has a lot of flesh, but no strength. But the guy who exercises, even when he's 70 years old, he will wear his suit and be walking corporately. The one who doesn't exercise at 38 and 40, he will start having back pain. Especially if he's tall. He will have pain on the back and on the neck. Because the muscles are not tough. The muscles are weak. Meanwhile, the one who exercises, even at 60, he will wake up in the morning and say, how are you doing? Every muscle has been taxed, so pain can come. So even in the natural, there is something you do to enhance the quality of your life. That's how it is in the spirit. When you begin to build intimacy with God, you touch life and you blossom in life. In John 17 verse 3, Jesus was speaking. He said, this is life eternal, that you may experience God. Jesus said, if you have not experienced God, you have not known life. The word that you may know him there is the word epignosis. And I'll talk about knowledge as I touch on intimacy. It says life is to experience God. So if you want to touch the essence of eternity and eternal life, it said the key is intimacy with God. If you have not experienced God, it said you have not known life. 1 John chapter 5 verse 20. The apostle also came to corroborate the position of Jesus. He said, and we know that the Son of God is come and have given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. These words know are words that represent levels of experience of God. They are levels of intimacy. That we may know that he has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. Even the Son, Jesus Christ, that is the true God and eternal life. You see how many times we spoke about know and understand. Know and understand. So as you experience him and experience him, you will get to interact with weights and measures of life. And the degree to which you interact with life is the degree to which you enjoy your existence. Somebody who has cancer now cannot sit down the way you are sitting. By now, he would have been fatigued already. Because that is something affecting the quality of his life. Somebody who has pie will not sit on the chair and relax, even if there is AC. Because if life is challenged, then you can no longer enjoy the meaning of existence. So the more a man grows in intimacy with God, the more the quality of his life increases. And the more the quality of his life increases, the more meaningful his existence will become. Now, that's the first benefit of intimacy. But there are many more. The second benefit of intimacy is transformation and transfiguration. Transformation and transfiguration is just a spiritual technology that changes you to become like the God that created you. Because God did not just create us to function like men. Although he created us as men, but he wanted us to function like him. That's why Genesis 1:26 said, "Let us make man." So he created men. But he said, "In our image, after our likeness, let them have dominion like us." So although we are created men, but God wants us to operate like him. The idea is for you to be in the God class. Now, if you study the Bible, in John 8:12, Jesus called himself the light of the world. And then in John 5:14, he now calls you the light of the world. Everything Jesus referred to himself, at some point, he now refers it to you. Jesus called himself the Son of God. A point came, he now said, "You too, you are the Son of God." So although you were created man, but your design of your operation was to be in the order of God. So the whole idea behind transformation and transfiguration is for you to begin to operate in the God class. And the key to unlocking that God dimension in you is intimacy. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, "We all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass the image of the Lord." He said, "We are changed from glory to glory, even to that same image as by the Spirit of the living God." So the more we interact with him, the more we are transformed and transfigured. And a man can be transfigured to a level where you see him. It will almost be as though you are seeing God. In fact, the man will carry so much of God that if you even start talking about him, the aura of God will descend there. When we were in Yaounde, I was gisting with some of our brothers that traveled with me about a man of God that carried so much of God. As I was talking about his experiences, the atmosphere in the room changed as if we were preaching Jesus. Because of the much of God the man carried. At some point, the man was in a meeting and he was worshiping with few leaders and he levitated. Suddenly, the glory became too much that he started literally becoming physically raptured and he was ascending. He had to slow the worship down to descend again and to walk like men. He held a glass of water, he fell and scattered. And he spoke to the glass and the glass assembled itself and came up. You think magic is strong. It's because you don't know God. If you know the realm of God, you'll discover that magic is a miniature expression of reality. Those are dimensions that men carry because of what? Transfiguration. You remember, I've quoted several times, Matthew 17 verse 2. The Bible said that Jesus was praying. He said the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment began to glitter. Even his clothes began to glow. So the transfiguration was so strong that he affected even his garment. You don't know why the woman with the issue of blood will touch his garment and virtue will flow out and heal her. Because every time Jesus communed with the Father, the weight of the glory has its residue on the garment. Powers of intimacy. Now, when a man is transfigured, anything that cannot happen to Jesus cannot happen to him. That's the key behind transfiguration. And so, because Jesus cannot be rejected, you too cannot be rejected. Because Jesus cannot be overwhelmed, you too cannot be overwhelmed. Because Jesus cannot be defeated, you too. So suddenly you now discover that even unconsciously, you start having experiences that are divine and celestial. Not even the ones you are exerting your faith for, But because you have been transfigured to a level, so the glory moves with you everywhere you go to. That's the power and the excellency of intimacy. And this is why the devil will fight intimacy until you leave this world. Because he knows that therein lies the realization of your potential. You who think you are weak and helpless, allow yourself to be transfigured a little. You will be shocked the kind of life that you should command. The reason you are helpless is because God is not much in expression in your life. Transfiguration, transformation are key components of intimacy. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, he said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us." He said, "It does not yet appear what we shall be like." He said, "But when we shall see him," he said, "we shall be like him." So the moment you begin to have intimacy with God, you begin to migrate and metamorphose into the God kind. And when you operate in the God kind, only what is allowed to happen to God can happen to you. The reason most men cannot fail is not necessarily because they are the best strategists. It's because they have become too much like God for failure to be tolerated in their realm. So even if they got the strategy wrong, the power of creation is resident with them. Things will still work the way it should work because of the level of transfiguration. The second, third benefit of intimacy is exploit and impact. In Daniel 11:32, he said, "They that do know their God." He didn't necessarily say they that studied in Harvard. He didn't say they that have an inheritance from a king. All of those things can be fringe benefits. But he said, if it is insurance you are looking for impact and for exploit, he said the key is experiential knowledge of God. They that do know their God, the B part of that scripture, he said they shall be strong and they shall do exploit. So exploit is a byproduct of intimacy. This is why you find some people, they really don't look like what they are doing, but you can't deny the impact. The impact of their lives is so strong that sometimes you even look at them, you are wondering. Sometimes you come to a place, you want to meet them to see what their secret is. When you now meet them, you'll be disappointed because they'll be as natural and as human as every other person. But what their lives command, you cannot but wonder at why their life is so. It's because of where they stand with God. You know, when Elijah came before Ahab, he didn't attribute his authority and impact to anything. He said, "Before God, whom I stand," he said, "there shall be no rain nor dew." The question is, how does "before God, whom I stand" affect geography? How does it affect weather interpretation? Which point are you making to the carnal mind? It's senseless. And even Ahab thought he was joking. If Ahab knew the impact of that statement, he would have arrested him. Go nowhere. But he thought the guy was a clown. When the guy walked away, after 2 weeks, although they were in rainy season, there was no rain. He now said, "Come, that man that came that day, what did he say his name was again?" Now you have to go and study about him. Unfortunately, even the people didn't do a thorough research. They said, he said this one Eli something. Elijah, taste Bible. Is it possible that what he said is what is happening? They say, "Abba, come on. The earth is older than him now. How can he just come overnight and change weather?" Okay. The earth is older than him, but where he stands is older than the earth. After 3 months, the king said, "Come, this thing is serious." They now went to a council meeting. And for the next 2.5 years, they were looking for Elijah everywhere. When Obadiah saw him, he said, "Go and tell the king I'm coming." The man said, "As surely as the Lord God liveth, I will not leave you." The king has looked for you everywhere. Anywhere there's a human being, the king went there. That was the same man that came to the king, and the king didn't bother to find out who he is. The king now is looking for him. The primary preoccupation of the king is to find Elijah. And before Elijah came, he said, "Go and gather all the prophets on the mountain. I'll meet you there." King became servant. Impact and exploit is a function of intimacy. Number four benefit of intimacy is that intimacy provides specific direction that makes for productivity. When you find people who are confused, it's because they don't stay with God. When you stay there, you will see something. In Jeremiah 33 verse 3, it says, ask of me, I will answer. And I don't only answer. It says, I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. I also show things. I show things. I will show you things that you do not know, that your brain cannot teach you. In Isaiah 30, 21, 22, he said, even if you err, because you have that relationship, he said, you hear a voice behind you saying, that is not the way to go. Turn back. So a man who has intimacy cannot err. And if you study that scripture in verse, in the second verse, verse 22, you know what they were doing. They were burning their idols and turning back to God. It was on the strength of their return to God that precision and accuracy was weaved into them. So when we talk about intimacy, it's not just to get you to become a religious man praying endlessly. No. There are benefits. Practical benefits. Existential benefits that are located to this reality. When a man sustains intimacy, the quality of his life increases. When a man builds intimacy, there is transfiguration that causes everything around him to work. When a man builds intimacy, his life cannot but command impact and exploit. When a man builds intimacy, he has direction. He cannot be confused. The light of God will shine upon him. Job 29 verse 4, it says, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, he said, by light I walk through darkness. A man of intimacy cannot be stranded. He will always know what to do and how to do it, because God will become a light unto his feet and a lamp in his path. The fifth benefit of intimacy is that intimacy imparts rest and dominion. When you find people who are always having anxiety issues, living in uncertainty and fear, it's because they don't have a walk with God. When you have a walk with God, rest will come. Dominion will become natural. This is why Moses was able to operate in the level of dominion he operated. Psalm 103 verse 7 said, God made known to the children of Israel his deeds. He said, but his ways he made known to Moses. So when you know God, you have rest. They came before the Red Sea. Everybody started murmuring. Moses knew the key. Murmuring cannot help. So he went back to God. Lord, what do we do? Go forward. Stretch thy rod. And when Moses stretched the rod, the Bible says God parted the Red Sea. The people who didn't have intimacy, although they were more, but their number counted for nothing. That's why in this kingdom, it's not politics. It's about your relationship with God. Imagine over 4 million men could not do anything about the Red Sea. But one man, that means in that instance, that one man was more important than the 4 million people. After they shouted and screamed and murmured, nothing happened. But few moments with God, Moses came back with solution. And when Moses approached the Red Sea, it will look stupid. A stretched it, you are wondering, we are trying how to cross water, you are stretching stick. After a while, we discovered that with the blast of his nostrils, he parted the Red Sea. This is how men come into rest. The business may not be doing well. You now go to the place of prayer and God tell you, wait for 3 weeks. Instead of having high blood pressure in that 3 weeks, you will now wait. When it's 3 weeks, you go back to God. It's 3 weeks. He will give you one strategy. You will now discover that you didn't need to stress yourself in the first place. When you find men struggling, anxiety, all forms of miscalculation, it's because they don't stay with God. When we were about to start, and I've shared this story with you before. Number one, coming from Abuja, Makurdi to Abuja, if it's not God, it's a huge mistake. Because everything on my expenditure profile multiplied by at least 2,000%. Everything. From transport to accommodation, everything. In Makurdi, if you have 5 million or 10 million, you can get it. A tent like this. That is 1 year plus. When you come to Abuja, you say you are looking for 1,500 seater. They will tell you 1 million per use. You will now say, wait, what is use? You will need a dictionary to redefine terms. When I showed up, me and my friends, we moved around this city. From Kubwa to Gwarimpa, we moved around. I'm telling you, we moved around. You come to this law, they call a figure. We even went somewhere, they said, okay, what we'll do is to erect a tent, give us 2 weeks, but you pay 36 million per use, per year. That was the cheapest thing we had. 36 million per year. Do you know the figure you are calling? What is 36? I went back to the place of prayer. I prayed, and God said, it is well. As I came out from the place of prayer, a friend of mine came to town and called me that is around, Evangelist Lawrence. And he said he wants to do his battle house retreat. I said, okay, no problem. He said, there's a church, there's an RCCG church that somebody told him to see the pastor if we could use the place. I said, all right, let's go now. I'm free today. We drove into the office. So this is a senior pastor, you know, the courtesies and all of that. They entered and were greeted. The moment I entered, the man stood up from his chair. What? How did you come here? I've been looking for you for 2 years. I'm here now. I've been looking for you for two years. I'm around. I'm in Nigeria. And after, well, I've relocated to Abuja. He said, what do you mean? What are you coming to do? I said, God said I should start here. The man turned it to his personal project. He was the one that started looking for her. He now made calls until he took me to Ecumenical Center. Meanwhile, Ecumenical Center is like the center of Christianity in Nigeria. So I started from the center. So we spoke from there. You don't know God. You don't know God. When we had to live there, we had just 2 weeks. How do you make the arrangement? These equipments we are seeing, don't joke. This is millions. In case you don't know the meaning of millions, I'm showing you. This is millions. This is your thing. We had to migrate and we needed to change all our equipment. And we had 2 weeks. I went back. As I was praying because they had searched for 7 days. Nothing was working. We moved to the studio. I was ministering from the studio. When I finished, I go to the altar. And I finished praying. I went to shower, come out of the bathroom. I heard Opiaga. Oh, I remember. That was when I remembered there's a place like this. I called her. The moment I called her, let's see tomorrow, it is settled. The whole thing is history. We are here. Every equipment came out from where they needed to come out from. By all means, we are here. Because of one word from the throne room. You want to have rest? Find God's presence. That's why God put Adam in Eden. If you are in Eden, you can't have high blood pressure. If you are in Eden, you cannot have any problem. There is dominion there. There is rest. The day you step out of Eden, make know that you will start toiling. Out of the sweat of thy brow shall thou eat bread. Because if you are not in Eden, you must labor. You must struggle. So the fifth benefit of intimacy is rest and dominion. And I can continue telling you these stories. There are many. So many. But sometimes, because we are young ministers, if you say stories too early, it's a problem. Wait until you are 70 years. That time you have the right. Praise God. Now, what are the dimensions of intimacy? I'm going to share this with you so you will understand how intimacy works. Because many people don't understand the levels and the dimensions of intimacy. So sometimes they are in God's presence, but because when they taught them about working with God, they didn't teach them what God's presence was and what intimacy meant. They only taught them a religious activity. So because they are not doing that activity part time, they kill themselves with guilt and think that God is far away from them. So most people you see today, they fall into spiritual lethargy. And they even lose their work with God because the person who taught them about working with God taught them one activity. He didn't teach them the protocol of working with God. He didn't teach them all the dimensions of intimacy. And so anytime they don't do that one that they are taught, guilt will kill them. And they will now carry the burden of guilt and they will actually lose their relationship with God. So it's important for us to know the holistic dimensions of intimacy so that we can know what to exercise per time. I was teaching them about power in Cameroon, and I showed them three dimensions of power, and each dimension represents specific things. I told them there is delegated power, there is generated power, and there is entrusted power. Each of them holds specific expression. You can't substitute one for the other. There are certain powers you will never walk in until you have revelation. If you like, fast for 1 year or 10 years, you will never walk in it. For example, exousia is a positional power. You can only walk in exousia if you have the revelation of the finished works of Christ and who you now are in Christ. This is why many people can't cast out devils. They are fasting machines, but they can't cast out devils. They do a lot of almsgiving, but they can't cast out devils. Because they don't know the authority in Christ. They don't know the finished works of Christ, and they don't know who they are in Christ. So every time they come, before they talk, the devil will put a little accusation in their heart. You that didn't pray 3 days ago, you are the one coming here. The person will now feel small and say, I will be back, I will be back. And these demons are wise. Very wise. But if you understand who you are in Christ, you can wake up and cast out demons. You can be in the market and cast out demons. This is why in Luke 10:19 and Matthew chapter 10 from verse 1, when Jesus sent them out, they returned to him celebrating that demons were subject to them. When Jesus turned to pray, you know what Jesus said? He said, I thank you, O Father, that you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and you have shown it to babes. So the people who came back casting out demons, they were babes. But they knew what Jesus gave them, so they went in that consciousness, and demons were subject to them. Now, some people confuse exousia for iskus. Iskus is also a dimension of authority. But iskus functions to the degree that you are obedient to authority. So if you are not obedient to authority, you can't walk in authority. That's iskus operation. And that one has to do with not demons now, but princes and territorial issues. Because anything that has to do with a prince and a territorial issue, there are laws of the spirit that governs it. These are legalistic beings. They don't do things anyhow. If a prince wants to affect your life, he will make sure you violate something, so that he will stand on the premise of your violation and be bringing accusation before he takes action. It's only a demon that will see space and jump in. And the way he jumps in, he can jump out. But not a prince. A prince is not looking for a body to possess. He's looking for a territory to exercise governance. So he will first of all look for a law to be broken so that he can write his own law. Now, if you come to address a prince, you will need to be under authority to be able to exercise authority there. Now, if you don't know the difference, the moment they say authority, you will feel that unless you have stature, you can't wield authority. So many people, today they have manifestation, tomorrow they don't have manifestation, and they don't know why. Because they don't understand the difference between delegated authority and generated authority. Are you seeing? Now, I'm seeing that somebody is interested. Go and get the message. Hear it. We are not teaching power today. When I was teaching them on entrusted authority, I told them, revelational power gives you authority over demons. Generated power, like dunamis, gives you authority to change circumstances. So, for example, I can know all the revelation of the finished works of Christ. But if I don't pray in tongues, and pray in tongues consistently, there are addictions in people's life I can't break. There are issues, circumstantial issues that people are going through that I can't break, because those things will require energy. He said, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think, according to the dynamics at work in you. So if I can't generate that power, I cannot change certain things that require energy in the spirit. So while I have revelation of Jesus, it should not affect my prayer altar. It should not affect my fasting. If it does, I will walk in exousia, but I will not walk in dynamics. And then there is another power called entrusted power, like Alkei. Alkei is not to cast out devils. Alkei is called influence. Influence. Most times when you read the New Testament, you see words like governor. It's Alkei. It's influence. So a man may not be doing miracles, But if he comes to your city, it's the president that will welcome him. And anything he begins to do will be global. Meanwhile, you who is raising the dead, you will go to Gwagwala, there is 10 people that will come there. And you are wondering why. The dead are coming back to life. They will say, yes, we trust God. Glory to Jesus. Well done. But another person, they just say he is coming. The whole road is jammed. The government comes there to pay courtesy visit. They say the guy came for crusade. Governor came for crusade that night. Because of influence. Influence. No miracle is happening, but influence. Because that one runs on virtue. Like humility, like purity, like patience, like kindness. If you don't have virtue, because that one, God will entrust it. I said, now, I know you can bring my government to a nation. So he will put something on your life. People will not know the gift you have, but if they call your name, they will tremble. It's called entrusted power. If you don't understand how power works, you may run your whole ministry on dunamis. All your ministry on generated power. So any meeting you are going to, hello, Shaba, Hiba, when you are now 35, you look like 80. The ministry that should have lasted for 40 years will end at 12 or for 15 years because you have all you are exhausted. That's why most African preachers in the 60s and 70s died early. They knew only generated power. So they are on the mountain 40 days. After 2 months, they go back another 40 days. Now, that is good. Don't get me wrong. But if you do that for 30 years, you will die. A point will come, your muscles, they will die. So while you are doing that, you should also balance with revelation. So that a service that you were not able to pray in tongues for 10 hours, God can still move. And then you can also have some time to go on holiday with your family. And still come back and cast out demons. Oh, let's go forward. We are not talking power. So what are the dimensions of intimacy? There are three major dimensions of intimacy. Number one, revelation-based intimacy. Number two, faith-based intimacy. And number three, consecration-based intimacy. These are the three major dimensions of intimacy. There's an intimacy that is based on your revelation of God. That you just have that revelation, you know you are with God all the time. The consciousness of God is heavy on your life just by knowing it. So you find some people who carry so much of God's presence and power. It's not because they fasted much. They have a revelation that God is with them. And so, because of that revelation and the consciousness that is built, the presence permeates that consciousness. And they move with so much cloud of glory. And then there are others that have faith-based intimacy. They know the power of God is on their lives. So when they come to a place, they are fed. And they begin to do things. And you are wondering, how now? Me and you were eating bread 2 hours ago. How can you leave eating bread and you went for miracle service? There is a stirring of the spirit that he has mastered. So all his life, he will keep that stirring active. If he comes anywhere and that stirring happens, he knows God is there. Kenneth Hagin said, when he goes to preach, if his thumb becomes numb and is not feeling any sensation again, he knows that the weight of God's glory is heavy. He said he will start running and touching every sick person. As in, he will literally be running. Anybody he touches within that time is healed of whatsoever. Because he has come to understand that when this operation happens, this is what it means. It means the angel of God's presence is with me. And he has built his faith along that line. It's a faith-based dimension of intimacy. When you walk into a place, sometimes you sense something in your heart. You just know that God is here. You will rest. You will be talking as if you are in the third heaven. And somebody is looking at you and saying, why are you so sure? I have learned this faith dimension. And then there is a consecration-based intimacy. If you pray in tongues for 12 hours, every time you pray in tongues for 12 hours, your consciousness must touch God. And And if you like, enter a desert, God will be there. If you fast for 3 days dry, anywhere you enter, the glory of God must be there. You have known it. That for you, this is your spiritual threshold. If you cross it, you must encounter God. That's a consecration-based intimacy. So if you want to have a relationship with God, you must maintain that 3 days fast. If you want to have a revelation with God, you must maintain that 15 hours fast, a prayer. Now, somebody who operates intimacy by revelation may come to you and say, no, kill yourself. This is not all about prayer. If you stop, you are finished. Because what breaks you into God's realm is 12 hours prayer. If you don't hit it, you cannot. Your consciousness can't trap God. Meanwhile, that other person, he just stands up and is walking around. He's walking around. He just hears, and he shall be in you and with you forever. Praise God! He will move with a consciousness. God will start moving. He will say, that's how he has grown. But for a Christian who wants to have the fullness of God, he will have to master the three. From revelation to faith and to consecration. So let's journey quickly. Let's begin with revelation-based intimacy. There are two aspects to this dimension of intimacy. The first aspect is to know God's position in his interaction with you. So this intimacy on the strength of revelation is positional. And I can tell you, you must by the Spirit migrate in your walk with God through all of these positions if your walk with God will be robust. So it is a revelational position of God type of intimacy. Now, for people who operate this, there are those who believe God is in heaven. That's their revelation of God. There are those who believe God is in men. And there are those who believe God is in them. Depending on which of this revelation is dormant in your life, your walk with God may suffer or may prosper. And the scripture upholds all of these three. I'll show you very quickly. Matthew chapter 6 verse 9. Jesus was teaching them how to pray. And he said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So even Jesus had this revelation that God is in heaven. So if you want to really have a relationship with God, you must have a revelation of the God that is in heaven. And I will show you the impact of this revelation. When you find a man who walks in lack and who always walks in fear, it's because he doesn't know that his God is in heaven. So for example, when he's praying for supplies, he thinks that God is limited to his salary. When he's praying for prosperity or for power for God to do something, he thinks God is limited to his ecosystem. It was on the strength of this revelation that Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. So this revelation means God is not limited by anything in your surrounding. So when you find people who do great exploits, most times it's because they know that their God is in heaven. Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches, not the riches of your government. The reason most people struggle to serve God is because they don't know God is in heaven. They think God is part of the government. They think God is part of the banking system. So when God tells them, sometimes God tells them, give 90% of your salary for 5 months. They say, Father, we are in Nigeria, sir. I don't know if you know, we are here. No, it can't be God. This is the devil. And they will bind it. But if you know your God is in a realm of limitless supply, there is a consciousness it will bring into you. On the strength of that consciousness, there is an attraction that will come in your walk with God. So when Jesus was teaching them to pray, he brought them the consciousness that God is in heaven. Now, God is not only in heaven. It doesn't stop there. You must also have the revelation that God is in men. Because all of these revelations have advantages and impact on your walk with God. If you know that God is in men, you will know what to expect and what you can receive depending on who is talking. So when you know that God is operating in a particular man as a healing power, anytime that man is around, you know that healing is possible. And on the strength of that healing, God will become real to you. If you know that somebody else operates, God operates through him as one who prospers. Anytime that man is around, the consciousness of the God who prospers will become heavy on you. And so you will see that when different people are ministering, you will experience God at different levels. There are some people who are talking, fire, hunger for prayer, hunger for God's presence will be activated on your inside. Why? Because when they are talking, that consciousness of God is activated. And you can engage those people and live there, and your walk with God will increase. There are some people that when they are ministering, the consciousness of God, the healer, will become strong on you. And even when you leave that meeting, you will start seeking the God that heals. So their expression of God will stir much hunger and relationship for God in you. So you need to know that men carry God. And if you know that men carry God, when you meet those men, you will look away from them and connect or touch the God that they carry. I show you a scripture very quickly. Acts 11, verse 20 to 23. You see, the Bible spoke about, now this was before Barnabas came to Antioch. It says, some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Go to the next verse. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Are you seeing why these people believed? Are you seeing why these people turned to the Lord? They turned to the Lord because the hand of God was upon the people who brought God to them. So there are men that when they show up, they provoke intimacy in your own heart for God. So a great number of people turned to the Lord because some disciples from Cyprus and Cyrene came with God. As they encountered those people, because of those people, they encountered God. But that's not where intimacy stops. You also need to know that God is in you. Because if you don't know that God is in you, and you only know that God is in heaven and God is in men, your journey with God will not be far. You know why? If you only think God is in men, and you only encounter God when you see men manifest God, your experience of God will be tied to when you meet those men. That's the limitation. And there are many people who will never sense the glory of God until a worshiper is singing. And so when they come to church and somebody is singing under the anointing, they are weeping. They are experiencing God. The moment keyboard stops or the mic go off, their tears will dry up. And if they finish from that service, until they come back next Sunday and the person is ministering. So their relationship with God is tied to when this person who carries God is ministering. Because of that level of thwarted relationship, they cannot grow. Because they meet God Sunday to Sunday. Meanwhile, there are six other days in between the Sundays. So they encounter God when somebody ministers. On Monday, the devil uproots everything they have touched. And they go back to iniquity before they come back the next Sunday. So their walk with God is up and down. Up and down. You cannot find consistency. For those who think God is only in heaven, sometimes they now fill their walk with God with rituals. Because you know what? Somewhere, unconsciously, they will feel that God is far away. That's why you see most times when we are praying, we want to do a lot of rituals. Because we think that we want to get the attention of this distant God. Those days when I go to pray, sometimes I will close my eye and I will be looking whether a light has come or whether there is a sound somewhere. And the problem is that sometimes you hear a sound or you see a light after 8 months. And when you now see something from the spirit realm, that for that 2 weeks, you are walking like a man of God. Anybody you meet, you tell them God is real. I was praying yesterday and light appeared on the wall. I saw light. The light was like the sun. After 2 weeks, you will go down. You will now start another ritual looking for the God that is far in heaven. And so even those people who believe or know that God is in heaven, they are limited. Their relationship with God is not consistent. That's why a man can go and off light and he's sinning. Because it is God is in heaven. If he comes to church, it's like this. All of us are pious in church. When you talk to somebody in church, he will turn and say, bless you.
Even when you offend him, he will contain himself and say, it is well. Because why? Now God is here. But when he steps out of the church, oh boy, you will see the happen. How far now? No problem. They come. You even lower your voice to talk. Because you think he's in heaven, he can't hear. That's why your walk with God is fluctuated. Because you think God is in heaven, and you have the revelation that God is in man, but you don't know God is here. If you know God is here, there's no way you can off light enough for God not to see you. If you know God is here, there's no way you can talk under your voice and he will not hear. You now know that you are naked before him. And because of that, even when you are in the bathroom, you are conscious of God. As you are driving, you are conscious of God. Because this God is not only in heaven, and you encounter him when you go to kneel on your altar. Because the people who know that God is in heaven, they become conscious of God when they are in their prayer closet. And so the moment they enter their prayer closet, they want to ascend to heaven. So at that time, they become spiritual. They become conscious of God. And the moment they come out of their prayer closet, God has gone back to heaven. They are also going back to their business. So they are not strong. But when you know that, yes, God is in heaven, yes, God is in men, but God is also in you, you can have a powerful prayer service driving your car. You can have a powerful fellowship session while you are having your bath. In fact, some of the voice of God will come to you in the bathroom. Most times, as water pours on you, you will come alive. And God will start talking. You will run out of your bathroom and carry paper, and you are writing. If you can't, you will put your phone on record and you will be saying it. Because God is with you all the time. If you want to have a rich relationship with God, the first revelation you must have is that God is not only in heaven, God is not only in men, God is also in you. That's the foundation of intimacy. It's on this note that even when you sin, you know God is with you. And you can boldly come to him and say, forgive. And it's on this note also that consciousness to live holy and righteous will subdue your appetite. Because now you know there's nowhere you can hide from God. When you are chatting with somebody on the phone, nobody is hearing, but you know God is on your inside. He is thinking with you. So that thought you created, he heard it. Even before you uttered it, the moment you created that thought, he heard it. Now, when that consciousness inundates you, your walk with God will become rich. Because the point will come, you will even pray in your heart. Because you know God is there and is hearing you. Because if you don't have the opportunity to pray loud, you know God is in your heart. So you can have a very strong prayer session in your heart. Very strong. And you are walking. Nobody knows what is happening. You know, people who think God is in heaven, we are not this religion that put megaphone somewhere and you are shouting. Some people now can't even pray until they shout. That's why I tell my people here, follow the promptings of the Holy Ghost. Leave activity. There are times when you are praying, God will mantle you like a warrior. The prayer will be an act of war. And there are other times when God will suck you into himself. You can't even pray, you'll be crying. If you know that God is in you, when you are praying or interacting with God, you'll be more conscious of what is happening inside you than what is happening outside. And on the strength of that, your relationship with God will never fluctuate. It will be constant. Because even when you don't have the permission or the opportunity to do it the way you would have loved to do it, you will do it all the same. When you have the time, you can separate yourself to pray. When you have the time, you can lock the door in your prayer room and pace the floor. But even if you don't have that opportunity, you can still be in the spirit every day of your life. Imagine if they relocated you to Saudi Arabia and you must shout before you pray. It means your walk with God will die. Because if you shout, your head will hang on a rope immediately. You will go to heaven quickly. And the Bible says, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. So when you come, they will welcome you with joy. Are you seeing this? Now, why is it important to know this? Because there are some people that, if they have not prayed loud for 3 days, they now start feeling guilty. You know what they are thinking? They have not spoken to God. In the last 3 days, they have not prayed. In the last 3 days, they have not had a relationship with God. And the devil will now say, yes, it's true. See this thing you have done now. Your ministry has gone. This fire you caught has gone. And then they will now start crying. They will start weeping. Guilt will come. And truly, their walk with God will collapse. But if you know that God is on your inside, when you can pray with your mouth and pray loud, you will pray. When you cannot, you will also pray with your heart. And you will not have any sense of guilt that I didn't pray, I didn't talk to God. Because when you were praying with your mouth or you were praying with your heart, you were equally interacting with God. That's why Ephesians 3:20 says God is able to do exceedingly above all that you can ask or what? Think. Because even when you are thinking, you are communing with God. Because God is on your inside. If you don't know this, you can't grow in intimacy. You cannot grow in intimacy. I'm telling you that many persons, the guilt of missing prayer or the guilt of missing study time has caused them to lose their fire much more than sin itself. And many persons, unless they do a particular activity, they've not talked to God. All of those things can become rituals and they will become dead works. Are they important? Yes. When you have the opportunity, do them and do them well. But if you don't have the opportunity, also be rest assured that you can talk to God in your heart because God lives there. Because some of you here, God may promote you. You may have a job where you work from 8 to 10 p.m. or you work from 8 to 8 p.m. or 8 to 5 p.m. and you may not have the luxury necessarily, sometimes for 5 years, sometimes for 10 years, to go and close the door somewhere and pray for 5 hours. It should not stop your intimacy with God. Because God lives on your inside. While you are in that bank, you can be in deep fellowship with God. While you are in that oil business, you can be in deep fellowship with God. While you are in the shop, you can be in deep fellowship. It's only a function of consciousness. Are you aware that God is in your heart? The moment you become aware, you will talk to God in your heart. The power of God can even throw you down, talking to Him from your heart. Hope you know that when Hannah was praying, she was not talking. Hannah was praying in her heart until the anointing overwhelmed her. Her mouth began to jitter. And the high priest looked at her and thought she was drunk. That means a man can be drunk from praying in the heart. If you know that God is there, you can pray in the heart and be filled with the Holy Ghost. You can pray in the heart and become drunk. And anything you generate by praying loud, you can also generate it by praying in your heart. Because intimacy is not about prayer time. Intimacy is about an unbroken walk with God. Intimacy is about an unending relationship with God. So you must know how to pray without ceasing. If you must pray and lock the door and shout, how can you pray without ceasing? Because Paul said we should pray without ceasing. The only way you can pray without ceasing is when your prayer migrates into your consciousness. And you also know that God dwells in your heart. So when you leave your prayer room, you are still praying. You have just changed location. When you are driving, you are praying. When you are on your job, you are praying. And as you begin to grow it, a point will come when the intensity will start increasing. And the same things you experience when you are locked behind closed doors, you will start experiencing it when you are driving, praying in your heart. It may take time, but if you are conscious and you develop it, you will master it. Because God is not only in heaven, God is not only in men, God is also on your inside. I've seen many Christians. The moment a man of God stands and begins to impart, you will see them. They become so conscious of God. That's when they fall under the anointing. That's when they start prophesying. If the man stops, they stop. So their whole experience of God is tied to impartation session. And so if the man of God does not do impartation, they have no work with God. They will be dry until somebody stands up in the name of Jesus, receive life. You see, amen. They start jumping. Some start having, it's good. But if it's reduced to only that time, then your walk with God is very shallow. You must graduate to knowing that God is in you. And you start building that consciousness and growing in it. That's the first order of intimacy as far as revelation is concerned. Look at John 14 verse 10. Just take these scriptures down. Go and read them. And spend time to meditate on them. See what Jesus was teaching. Now remember,
This same Jesus said, our Father, which what? At in heaven. Now, see Jesus. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? He said, the words that I speak unto you is not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. Jesus knew that the Father what? Dwelled in him. The Father dwelt in him. He said, the Father that dwelleth in me. So, every word I'm speaking to you, I'm just corresponding and transmitting what the Father is saying. That's Jesus' level of consciousness. And Jesus was not the only person that sustained that consciousness. Galatians chapter 4 verse 6. Look at Paul's consciousness. I'm showing you why men have unbroken relationship with God. He said, because you are sons. He said, God had sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba Father. So as far as Paul is concerned, the Holy Ghost is not just on your inside, but the Holy Ghost is carrying out an intense activity in your inside. The reason you are not sensing that the move of the Holy Ghost is heavy is because you are not conscious. If you are conscious, you will know that the Holy Ghost is not just there. He is crying on your inside. Abba, Father, for that you can keep encountering God unending. That's what Paul knows. Sometimes Paul can wake up from sleep and the Holy Ghost is screaming. And he enters an encounter from sleep because of a consciousness that he has built. He said the Holy Ghost is on our inside crying, Abba, Father. In fact, as far as Paul is concerned, this was God's plan from the foundation of the world. In Colossians 1, 26 and 27, he called it the hope of glory. So if you will walk with God until you are glorified, he said you must have the consciousness not that God is in heaven, but that God is on your inside. He said this is the riches of the glory of the mysteries that Christ in you is the hope of glory. So the reason you will walk with God and be glorified is not because God is in heaven. It's not because God is in another man. It's because you must know that God is on your inside. Too many Christians don't know this. They are not conscious of this. That's why they walk in sin casually. Because as far as they are concerned, nobody saw them. And that's why their prayer life, their study life keeps fluctuating. Because they think they only have a relationship with God when they are kneeling on the altar. Or when they are in a prayer group. Or when they are in a vigil. All of those things are beautiful. But if you will have a rich relationship with God, you must build the consciousness that God is in you. For some of us, we may need to write this scripture and talk it to ourselves for a long time. Because this awareness is something you come into by the Holy Ghost. It's not mental. It's something that should provoke a consciousness. So you have to meditate on it until it becomes your reality. Hear what Jesus told the disciples in John 14, 16 and 17. It's a consciousness. It's not just a mental knowledge. He said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, and that he may abide with you forever. Now, go to verse 17. He said, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So, he's not just about abiding with you. It's also coming to enter you. He said, because it feareth him not, neither knoweth him. He said, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. When the day of Pentecost came and the Holy Ghost came, he now entered them. And everybody who receives Christ, the Holy Ghost enters you before he comes upon you. Because that's how you receive eternal life. So God is more interested in God in you, even much more than God with you. But if you don't have that consciousness, you can't have a relationship with God. There are many religious people. And the way you know them is that when they are outside church, they don't sense God. They live their life as if God does not exist until they come to church, until they come to prayer meeting, or until they enter their prayer closet. But when you find a spiritual man, anywhere, anytime, he carries the consciousness of God. He can talk to God and hear from God anywhere, anytime. In fact, sometimes if you are in a business meeting
and things are getting hot,
you bend down on your table and for some seconds you talk to the Father in your spirit before you continue with the conversation, because you know that even for that 10 seconds God can whisper something to you. You know He's that close to you. It's on the strength of that that you build a robust relationship with God.
The first dimension of revelation, or revelation based intimacy, is that God is not just in heaven, God is not just in men, but God is in you. The second dimension of revelation that provokes intimacy are the cadres of spiritual knowledge. There are five cadres of spiritual knowledge, and anybody who will have intimacy with God by revelation must journey through these cadres. Number one of those cadres is what we call gnosis. Gnosis. There is a knowledge called gnosis. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. 2 Peter. It said, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. The word knowledge here is the word gnosis. What is gnosis? Gnosis is a scientific understanding of a reality. Something you can cognitively explain. Now, this level of intimacy is not to know God necessarily, but is to know about God. This is the basic level of intimacy that everybody has. Now, every Christian here, if you ask them, they can tell you Jesus is the Son of God. It does not really mean they know what Son of God means. But at least they can explain to you and say, yes, he was born of a virgin. The Holy Ghost came upon Mary and she was born. So they can explain it cognitively. Now, because of this, there's a level of consciousness of God they have. But if that's all you know about God, you can't walk in purity. If that's all you know about God, you can't raise the dead. If that's all you know about God, you cannot stand when somebody is dying and say, come back to life. Because even you know that knowledge is passive. But because you are a cognitive being, you must of necessity interact with God at a cognitive level. But the journey of intimacy is deeper than that. So when you leave the level of gnosis, you come to the second level of knowledge-based intimacy, which is eidos. Now you become aware. God becomes more specific to you. You're from the general level of explaining God and knowing about God to becoming aware. Have you had this situation before where you had maybe a spoon in your hand and you are looking for it? How many of you have had that situation? You are preparing quickly to go to work. You carried your comb and you have the comb in your hand and you are looking for the comb and you are angry with everybody. Who carried this comb from here? What is wrong with these people? Until you go out and you are asking somebody for comb. You now say, yeah, but what are you holding in your hand? You now look at it. You will be wondering why you didn't drop the comb when you were angry. So you have that knowledge all the while, but you were not aware of it. That moment of realization that, the comb is with you, is what we call eidos. Eidos means to realize. Eidos means to perceive. So when God wants to grow you in intimacy, from time to time, He will begin to give you realizations and perception. Realizations and perception. So you can wake up one day and just realize that, but I should not be sick. And if you were sick, the sickness will go. It doesn't necessarily mean you have knowledge of divine health. That sickness will go that time, but you will still fall sick again. Because you were just aware momentarily of a reality. You have not grown in it. That's the level of knowledge of God that many persons have. Now, if you want to grow into gnosis, you must read about God. But if you want to grow into eidos, you must begin to consciously spend time with the Holy Spirit. Because the first level of spiritual interaction the Holy Ghost brings to you is to begin to punctuate realizations into your spirit. From time to time, something will come to your spirit. It's like God flashing light in your spirit. As that is happening, you can come and say, if you invite some people to talk here now, they can tell you, in 2005, God told me this. That was the last time they received a flash. So, they have punctuations. But a man who has grown in intimacy Even as he's talking now, he will tell you, now let's pray, God wants to speak. His talk with God is not 10 years ago. It's not 5 years. God no longer flashes. God is now a movement. God is a stream. He can plug in anytime. And he can live there. So you must also grow from the level of idol. But the way to activate idol is to be spending time with God from time to time so that flashes can be coming. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to verse 13, the word was used. Let me show you. It said, this is the record that God has given us eternal life and that this life is in his Son. Go further, verse 12. It said, he that had the Son has life and he that hath not the Son has not life. Now, verse 13 is my emphasis. It said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. The word know there is the word I do. So it's telling you, become aware that there's another life on your inside. You may not have mastered how to walk that life, but at least know that there is eternal life. Perceive it, become aware, realize that there is eternal life in you. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, is that same word Paul used. It says, whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. All things are passed away. It says, behold, all things have become new. The word behold is the word idol. So, when God wants to start drawing you to himself, what God does is that he begins to make you realize that you have some things. That's why sometimes when we are preaching here, you hear us talking again and again that we are not ordinary. We are not ordinary. We have the anointing of God. We have the life of God. We have the faith. What we are trying to do is to create awareness. Many persons will leave that service and become aware that they too have faith. They never knew. They will become aware that they have eternal life. They will become aware that they have anointing. But that does not mean they will walk in the anointing. But at least now, they walk with a level of consciousness that the life of God is in them. They walk with a level of consciousness that they have faith. They walk with a level of consciousness. If they will grow, they will need to know more than awareness. So you move from gnosis, you come to idol, then you proceed to epignosis. When you come to epignosis, you are now beginning to experience some of the things that you were aware of. So you knew you had the anointing of God. You were aware that you had it. But you went somewhere, somebody was sick. And then you just sensed a leading to pray for the person. And as you touch the person, you sense something leave you into the person. And the person tells you, the pain is gone. Now you know you are not just anointed. You have also experienced the anointing. You have felt the anointing. You have touched the tangibility of the anointing. Now, for you, the anointing will be more real to you than the guy who is just aware that he's anointed. Because the guy who is aware that he's anointed, if you ask him, he will tell you, well, that's what the Bible says. But you now, it's not just what the Bible says. You have experienced a measure of it. You hear some of our brothers share the testimonies here that the first time they told them that they could pray for the sick, they were afraid. After a while, they became sure that they too could pray for the sick. After a while, they actually prayed for the sick and the sick got healed. So they have moved from the level of I can pray for the sick. They have moved to the level of I will pray for the sick. Now they have prayed for the sick and the sick is healed. So they are growing in knowledge from level to level. That's how your walk with God is. There's a level where you know about God. There's a level where you realize that truly God is alive and God is in my life. But there's a level where you start seeing markers of God and you start experiencing God. So as you come to this level now, you now become conscious. If I need a job, God can talk to me. If I need to get married, God can talk to me. If I need to start a business, God can talk to me. So you will now no longer take steps just like that. You will now start seeking God. So you see that when it has to do with gnosis, it took scientific analysis. You need a developed mind. When it has to do with idol, you need to stay in God's presence so that from time to time the Holy Ghost can tell you. But when it has to do with epignosis, you must pay the price to seek God. So you no longer take steps until God speaks. So now you have added discipline. You have added hunger to your walk with God. So God now sees that the experience he gave you, you don't just want to have it once in a while. You want it to become your life. It's on the strength of this now that you will now check your timetable and say, every day I will pray for 1 hour. It's on the strength of this that you say, every week I will fast twice. Because you want to consciously walk with God. You want to know God and you want to experience God. You don't just want to have touch the flashes and encounters once in a while. You want to live in the realm of encounters. Now, epignosis is a spiritual knowledge triggered by the Holy Ghost to bring men into experiences in God. It's no longer what you read. It is the God that you have handled. The same way he said that which was from the beginning. We saw, now we have handled. When you have handled, it means you have come into epignosis. Two people can come for a healing service. The person who prayed for the sick, maybe once in a while, and sees one or two healing, will not have the same faith like the man who organizes healing service every week. This one who organizes healing service every week, he has passed through praying and people die, to praying people are healed, to praying until he has built some level of consistency. So if this man comes, before he starts the service, he can tell you God will heal the sick today. That means his walk with God is stronger than the other person. The one who has idol will be hoping, maybe the Holy Ghost will do something today. Maybe the Holy Ghost will show me something today. But the one who has epignosis, he knows that the Holy Ghost will always show something. So when he comes for the meeting, he will announce before time, God will touch people. When I was teaching in Cameroon, the night before the last night was a revival night. It was explosive. When I now came for the last night, I told them, tonight you will not feel fire. Tonight I want to show you the name of Jesus. And when I'm done, God will work in miracles. And I finished teaching. When I finished explaining the name of Jesus, before I prayed, I now told them, I'm not sensing the anointing. But this truth, I've used it many times. I know it now. It must work. I now prayed for the sick. Before we took testimonies, I asked them, why do you think people will be healed? Everybody looked at me and said, they must be healed. I now said, if you are healed, stand up. And a crowd stood up. And it's not I have headache. Tumors were leaving people's bodies. People who couldn't walk were walking. Because I have used this name of Jesus several times. I used it in Kenya. I used it in Zambia. I used it in Pakistan. I used it in London. Now, I know that name by experience. So when I say Jesus, it's not because a theologian told me. I've gone to places before where people were waiting. You say you are doing miracle today, we are waiting. And I was between the devil and the deep blue sea. What do I do? It was that name of Jesus that took me out of there. So if I come to another place, I have no reason to fear. I have experienced it. It's called epignosis. How do you grow in epignosis? You grow in epignosis through consistent seeking, through consistent engagement. So a man who wants to have intimacy with God must engage God until God becomes an experience. I'm telling you why when we teach on intimacy, we talk about fasting, we talk about prayer. It's not the fasting and prayer in itself. It's the consistency requirement for you too to experience God. It is on this wise that intimacy becomes a business of responsibilities. If you don't take responsibility, you cannot have intimacy with God. You'll find the scripture, it is replete. Look at what Peter said. I read the scripture for you already, 2 Peter 1, verse 5. See what Peter said. We'll read it to verse 8. He said, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue, what? This is what? Idol. Are you seeing this? He now went further, verse 6. And he said, and to idol, add temperance. And to temperance, add patience. And to patience, add godliness. Go to verse 7. And to godliness, add brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, add love. Go to verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the epignosis of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you had awareness, but you started building patience. You started building temperance. You started building virtue. As you were pushing it consistently, a point comes when a move from awareness, it becomes what you have handled. It comes into epignosis. So many persons have not grown in their intimacy with God because they stopped at having visions. I slept last week. I saw a white man talking to me. What does it mean? So they are asking everybody every day. I had my hand was hot. What does it mean? I was praying. My legs started. What? How long have you been doing what you are doing? You pray once in a month. You saw fire. And you are asking what does it mean? No. What it means is pray more. When you stay there for 6 months, you will know what it means. They want you to tell them what it means so that they will run with it. Meanwhile, the way the spirit realm works, I may sense fire on my hand, it will be healing. You may sense fire on your hand, it may mean the prophetic. You may sense fire on your hand, it may mean run, there is danger, run, they are about to cut your head. And so, if you don't know this thing by experience, you will now sense fire on your hand and you say, God wants to raise the dead here. They are sharpening your cutlass. Because you are that dead that will die and raise on the last day. So, when you are walking with God, apprehend Him. Don't look for things. Apprehend Him. The whole idea is to draw you. Did you see where Peter taught this thing? In 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, according as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the epignosis. Through the epignosis of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. And He said, by that He has called us to become partakers of the God kind, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through law. So, when it has to do with experience, you must walk with God until you partake of Him. That's the journey of intimacy. So, if we are talking, we need to know where we are. Because two people can come and say, God will heal today. One has scientific knowledge about God. That's gnosis. Another one has idol. 5 years ago, God healed somebody through him, but he has not experienced anything. And then another one has epignosis. He knows the God that heals. When all of them are talking, their manifestation will prove where they are in their walk with God. So when you are walking with God, you must be conscious to grow. This is why we teach these things. So if you are still at the level where God is scientific, there is so much that you cannot handle. You need to grow until you know this God by experience. It has happened too consistently that it can't change. Sometimes I'm in a meeting, I sense a signal. I will tell you with all audacity that this thing is like this. It has become too consistent. That's why I can be in a meeting and tell you where that AC is standing there. There's somebody there, you have growth. I've sensed some things for long. I've sensed it. Sometimes they move like light. As we are talking, it passes. And as it passes, where it stops, something is there. You have done this thing severally, now you know, and you can bank your life on it. Now imagine you travel somewhere to preach for one day, only one session, and then you tell them there's somebody on the second row here, you have an air condition. Everybody's not looking, nobody there. The whole service, now you want to redeem yourself. You now say there's somebody by the right here, your right leg, nobody. What you need to do now is to start praying for the service to end on a good note, because you are in trouble. But you see, when epignosis has been formed, it cannot lie. Because this thing has been proven over time. That's experience. If you want to know God, don't know Him scientifically alone. Don't know Him by one or two momentary encounters. Seek until you have regular patterns. So that when you see anything, you can explain what it means. And you know it is so. And many times, it is so. Then, you know that you are growing with God. Now, when you are growing into these different levels, they also mean the energy level where you are in God. It means your growth and your intimacy with God is increasing. But that's not all. There is another level of intimacy in knowledge called gnosko. Epignosis is to experience God. But gnosko is an experience of God that you can now apply. So you don't just experience it. You can now what? Apply it. You can be praying. And every time you pray and you see fire, God releases judgment on an evil person. You saw it once. You saw it thrice. You saw it four times. The next time, if there is evil, you will go and pray and look for that fire. Because you know that if you can find that fire, there will be judgment. So your ability now to apply that knowledge to produce results is what we call gnosko. Now, this is how men grow in their walk with God.
Sometimes you go for a meeting, you sense that as you were going for that meeting, your heart was, there was a movement in your heart. And when you went to preach, you preached with fire. You went for the next meeting, you didn't sense it. And even though you were shouting, there was no fire. You were going again, you sensed that fire. It happens once, it happens twice, it happens thrice. You now know that when God is moving on your chest, there's fire. So if you are looking for a revival meeting, you can now announce and say, tomorrow is revival service. You know why? Because you must pray until that fire comes. Because now you have the ginosko, but you can now apply it. You have the epignosis, you can apply it. So if you say tomorrow is revival, you will pray until you sense the fire. You can still be praying till 5, the meeting, they have already taken offering, but you are not out yet because you have not sensed the fire. The moment you sense the fire, you can carry your Bible and start running. If you reach the altar, fire must come. Now, you know God to a level where you can apply the things of God consciously. You are a prophet. You know that when you are praying, and you are praying, and something starts moving on your head, you can see with your eyes open. It happened once. It happened twice. It happened thrice. You know what you'll do? You will first of all sit down and find out, what was I doing before that thing started moving on my head? You will now learn it. When you learn it, you will go and write it down and keep it. Any day you want to prophesy, you will go and lock your door and do that thing until the thing begins to move on your head, because you know that's the hand of God. If it starts moving, you can say, tell the president to wait for me. You will come as a big man. Because if you come, you must prove God. Now you can put to work. This is how people grow in God. Many people are too careless to study the patterns of the Spirit in their lives. And that's why they are in church for 20 years. They are looking for impartation. They are looking because they are not growing in intimacy. They don't know these things. You are a businessman. Every time your hand is on fire, you suddenly have contracts. You are going for a meeting, your hand is burning. You say, what's wrong with you? You wash it, it's still burning. And suddenly you go, everybody favored you. You don't know why. You say, Kai, this suit I wore today, there's the way I appeared. Even the people know. You go to another meeting with the suit, nothing will now happen. Another time you are going for a meeting, your hand is boiling, burning, burning, burning. And you have favor. What is it with this hand? You now enter practicals. The next time you have a major meeting, you prepare for the meeting 2 days before. You start praying. Or you start worshipping. Whatever it is you were doing that your hand was burning, you do it for a long time. When the hand starts burning, you have gotten your answer. You will now go to the meeting now with expectation. And if what you are looking for is not happening, you can now demand it. Because every time your hand was burning, you had favor. You now come, they want to behave anyhow with you. You now start making demand. Because now you can apply the knowledge. Because you have put it to work severally. It is called ginosko. Ginosko. The ability to put to work the things of God. But this is not the highest level. There is a level where you can now begin to be inventive and creative about it. So ginosko is ability to practice, produce result, or bear offspring from your interaction with God. Now, why am I saying this? This is revelation-based knowledge. You know why? Because these things, if they are happening in your life, it means you are still at that energy level. Because these things happen at different energy levels. Now, let me explain something to you. And I need you to understand this thing in context. Because I'm not saying, go and stop whatever it is God was doing with you. See the way I am now. Where is my friend? Where is my coach? Come. This is my coach. He's the one that mentors me in gym. Although I go once in 3 weeks. Come up. This is my coach. Celebrating. Let me walk with my coach. Now. He's coming up too. Now. When we went to do deadlift, what was the weight I carried? I carried 60 kg. How many did you carry?
120.
You know what is deadlift? They do it to help your back. So they will put the weight. You will stand like this. You will carry it and drop it. Carry it and drop it. So it affects your back. They call it deadlift. Now, if I start training every day for 3 weeks, maybe I will shift from 60 to 80 or 90. If he doesn't train for 3 weeks, if he comes back, he will still carry more. You know why? Because he is already at a muscular energy level. So my practice may keep me fresh, but I've not reached here. Are you seeing that? Now there's somebody else who is bigger than him, who may be carrying 400. Even if I train for 1 year, I won't meet the person. Do you understand? Now, why am I saying this? If this man does not train for 2 weeks, he will not necessarily feel guilty that he didn't train. You know why? Because he has reached a guaranteed level of 120. If he wants to go to training, he will go to training because he loves gymming and because it's beneficial to him, not because he's feeling guilty. That's why it works with intimacy. If you have reached the level of ginosko and you have seen those signs, you may be busy, you didn't pray for 4 days, you didn't pray for 5 days. You will not allow guilt to overtake you. Because you know that you are in a relationship level with Jesus. Are you seeing that? Now, if you are going back to prayer, you are not going back to prayer because you are feeling guilty. You are going back to prayer because you miss the presence. Because you want to love God. Because you want to grow in God. It's not guilt that is taking you back to prayer. Are you seeing that? Now, there was a time, thank you. There was a time when I was wooing my wife. Those were days. I will call and talk. And when I check, later it's 3 hours. How did I supposed to talk on phone for 3 hours? I had to start checking myself. I said, "Kai, you have become carnal." And I will even know it's 3 hours. Now we are married. We are at a guaranteed level now. Now, communication is still important. But when I was in Cameroon, sometimes I talk for 20 minutes in a whole day. I can't talk for 3 hours because we are doing kingdom and we understand. Now, am I supposed to collapse my communication with her? No. But if I communicate with her, I'm no longer communicating to woo her. I have wooed her already. She's not my wife. If I'm communicating with her now, it's because I love her and I'm also taking responsibility as husband. See the problem with many Christians? They don't monitor the level they have grown to in intimacy. And because they don't monitor these things, they are using rituals, activities, and laws to punish themselves. So, somebody didn't pray for 1 day. It's not because he misses God. It's not because something he has caught in God, he didn't sense it. No. He is paining him because he has not marked record. And so long as he goes to pray, whether he touches God or not, is not a factor. As far as he has prayed, that day has been ticked. Now, at a level of growing, it's important. But when you start coming to maturity, you no longer pray to mark record. You pray to keep what you have caught in God. And so long as those things you have caught are still there, your intimacy is still intact. Now, this does not suggest that you should stop your daily walk with God. But if you know this, guilt can no longer destroy your walk with God. You now function by spiritual signs that defines your height in the spirit. And so long as you wake up and the Holy Ghost is singing in your heart, it means you are intact. So there's a level you get as you wake up, God is singing. So you know that you are intact. You are intact. I didn't pray yesterday, but I'm intact. The devil can't come from nowhere and whisper, "Look at you, Kanama. You can't pray. Get out, Satan." I'm talking relationship with my father. How did you come here? You see? So your walk with God will no longer be a burden. Because there are many people who are praying, fasting, but it's a burden. They don't have a relationship with God. They are just marking timetable. So that when they go to preach, they can tell you, "For the past 70 days, I prayed every day for 4 hours. The moment the people clap, they have achieved what they want. They go away. They don't have a relationship with God. But for people who have relationship with God, they keep what they have caught. And those markers is what defines to them where they are standing with God. Are you seeing it?
This is why we are teaching these things. So long as God still talks to me and I still apply it, it means my relationship is intact. I hear God's voice. The fire of God is on my heart. My relationship is intact. I should pray every day. I should fast regularly. I should study every day. But in case I didn't pray, I won't feel guilty. What I have caught, I've not lost it. It's still there. There's an indicator. God gives you those things to let you know that you are intact with Him. You are intact. Are you seeing the difference? This is how you build intimacy. And this is revelation-based intimacy. The final level on this order is what we call dokimazo. Dokimazo is not just that you can apply what God is doing. Now you can use those things to prove that God is there. In Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, hear what the Bible says. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Go to verse 2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The word prove is the word dokimazo. There's a level you now get to in your intimacy that you can use your intimacy to verify certain things. So you can come to a place and say, God is here. At this point, you are no longer feeling. You have gone past feeling. Now you know God's presence. Now, you need to understand that the journey of relationship is not just to feel things. It's actually to know. Because God's presence is not necessarily felt. It is known. So when you come to the level of deep intimacy with God, you know His presence. So you can prove His presence. So you can come to a place and tell somebody, God. This is where the patriarchs of old went to. Elijah will come to a place and tell you, let's go to the mountain tomorrow. The God that answers by fire is the true God. He's not feeling anything. Now, you know that this same Elijah at some point will pray and say, until you see something. Elijah comes and says, the God that answers by fire is the true God. And then you go to the mountain. Nothing happens. Somebody pray from morning till night. Nothing happens. And Elijah comes. He now says, no. Before I call fire, you may say, this place is too dry. Pour water. Let the place be wet. The place is now wet. And Elijah called on God. He knows. This one knows God. And God will answer by fire. Elijah sits on the mountain. They send soldiers to arrest him. And he said, except I'm not the servant of God. Let fire come down and consume you. And fire will descend, consume. Second batch, fire descend, consume. When the third batch came, the captain was wise. He said, my Lord, please don't be offended with your servant. Because he can see the signs. This thing is no longer coincidence. This man knows something. He can prove God. Now, when we are talking intimacy, God wants us to come to a point where our walk with Him is so rich that we can prove Him. So, I'm not just a man of study. I'm not just a man of fasting. I'm not just a man of prayer. I know that I have entered somewhere with God. So, if I come into a place, I can say, unless I'm not a servant of God, unless I don't know God, unless I don't have a relationship with God, let this and this and that happen. And when those things happen, they will come back and say, we want to know your God. It means your intimacy has gotten to a level where you can use it to prove and justify what relationship with God is. And so when such men said, my God, know that something will happen. You see what David said? He said, by my God, I ran through a troop. By my God, I leaped over a wall. So the guy has an assurance. No matter the number of the soldiers, I know a God. If I call upon Him, I will defeat you. If your walk with God has not brought you to that point where you can stand up and say, no, I serve a God, this business will not fail. It means you don't have intimacy with God. You need to get to that point. Some people will look at you and all their prayer for you is out of fear. Now, when people pray for me like that, I honor their faith, I honor their love, I receive it. But I've gone past that level. Somebody will look at you, he will pray for you for 1 hour. And all the prayer that is that you will not fail. This thing will not fumble. This thing will not collapse. Am I planning to fail? You come to a point where you say, As surely as the Lord God liveth, this thing can't fail. And you are not just boasting. You know God.
There's a knowledge. That's what the guy said in Daniel 11:32b. They that do know their God. That is a level of knowledge that proves God's faithfulness, proves God's mercy, proves God's ability. And if what we are doing is intimacy, it must bring us there. How far have you traveled with God? There are many people who are praying, they are fasting, but their life is still full of uncertainty. They cannot tell you anything, even about where they are. Uncertainty. And because the devil knows, the devil will just be doing a lot of things around them. They woke up, they say, "Kai, I had a dream yesterday. I don't know. Will this business still work?" This business, so long as I'm involved, it must work. If the devil likes, if you show all the dream in hellfire, it won't stop this business. So the devil is not the one that dictates how you operate. You now know God. But it's a journey. It's a journey from scientific knowledge of God to momentary or temporary awareness of God, to experience of God, to application of God, to a point of absolute assurance. There used to be a time when, if I'm going for a meeting, I will pray until I sense either something on my tongue or my heart. There are times when I'm praying, my heart becomes heavy. Heavy. That as I'm walking, sometimes I can't even breathe. I know that is the glory of God. It has saturated me. If I go for that meeting, something supernatural must happen. But my brothers and sisters, if I'm going for any meeting now, anything I want to happen, that's what will happen. Because I've come to know God that is beyond my activities. Now, those things I was doing, I'm still doing them. Don't get me wrong. But now I've come to know God that He is predisposed to doing this thing much more than I'm asking Him. I'm not the one who will beg God to heal His people. I don't love those people half as much as God loves them. God is planning to heal them more than I mean. In fact, I'll be the one to limit God from healing them. Because what God wants to do in a meeting, I'm the one that will limit Him. So I've come to know God's love. I've come to know God's faithfulness to a level that if I come to a meeting, my prayer most time is, "Father, please let me not hinder you here. Have your way." And as you talk with assurance, God keeps answering and answering and answering. But you see, you kept journeying with God. You kept journeying with God until you came to that point where you are not psyching yourself. In fact, you can put your life on the line. You can call somebody who is sick and tell the person, you know the way John G. Lake did it? Now, John G. Lake had a healing program. You know what he calls it? It's not supernatural healing, no. He called it divine healing technician. He said, when a doctor is coming to treat you, he's coming with assurance. He knows what to do to get the result he's looking for. So he called his prayer people technicians. And when you are coming for the John G. Lake's program, he will tell you it's for 30 days. Most times they will tell you to pledge something, stake something, put money or put something. They are not taking it, but they are trying. It's just like having a contract with you that if you are not healed, you can sue me. That's the level of audacity the guy had. If you come for this meeting and you don't miss, if by the end of this program you are not healed, sue me. You can take me to court. The guy knew that God cannot lie. God cannot deny himself. It's a level of knowledge of God. He has come into an assurance. Now, if you have not journeyed in intimacy, you didn't even reach Ginosko where you send something like, okay, there's a T.L. Osborne who, if he's preaching, he's waiting. When the fire hits his hand, he will stop preaching. He will carry a chair and sit down. He doesn't need atmosphere. He said, the power of God is in my hand. Hold me. Cancer will die. Blindness open. So long as he's there, that's Ginosko. You have not reached a level where you pick a sign and you apply it. You are still at the scientific level. Because you heard somebody say something and it happened, you too came. And meanwhile, it's your pride that is pushing you. You say, tomorrow if God does not heal, it means God does not exist. Be careful. When the time now comes, you now start trying to blackmail God. Lord, please,
Your name will not be embarrassed here. Your name will not be blasphemed here. Lord, prove yourself in this place. Father, you must prove yourself. So if in that your small meeting, that God will prove himself. God proved himself when he created the world. God proved himself when he rose Jesus from the dead. You are the one now that will prove your ministry. Prove your ministry. Prove your calling. Leave God out of the equation. But you see, it's a journey. It's a journey. I wish I had time to talk to you about intimacy by consecration, but we're out of time. Maybe next week, Tuesday, when I come, I will teach you intimacy by faith. I will also teach you intimacy by consecration. But intimacy by faith is based on three things. Write it down, go and study. Just in case I don't have time to teach it. If you study, the Holy Ghost will give you understanding. Intimacy by faith is number one, based on what is predominantly accepted where you are. So when you come to an environment where people believe knowing God means prophesying, you will discover that your intimacy with God will be narrowed along the lines of prophecy. If you come to a place where people believe that knowing God is by prayer, your intimacy with God will be narrowed along the lines of prayer. If you come to a place where people believe that knowing God is to walk in healing, your intimacy with God will be narrowed along the lines of healing. If you come to a place where people believe that knowing God is about quoting scriptures, your intimacy will be narrowed along the lines. But you see, the danger of operating that way is that when you find anything outside of that narrow corridor that you know, it will defeat you. And it will affect your faith, and it will affect your walk with God. So you must move from building intimacy based on what is predominantly accepted. For example, this apostolic movement now, people believe intimacy with God is to have utterance and to pray. Because most of the apostles are people that have fluid utterance and they preach prayer. And so you'll see an arrogant and proud person who doesn't know God, because he comes and prays, or if he carries the microphone, he starts talking mysteries and talking fast. He thinks he has stature with God. That is intimacy based on predominant occurrence. Knowing God is deeper than that. That may be a level, but your walk with God has to be deeper than that. Now, the second level of intimacy by faith is knowing God based on what has happened to you in the past. And this is also good because you can invoke God's faithfulness. Lord, you did it yesterday, you do it again. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you see, because your experiences fluctuate, and because your experiences are not only positive, if you build your intimacy based on what you have experienced in God yesterday, you will still be limited. Because you prayed for the sick yesterday, the sick was healed. But you also prayed day before yesterday and the sick was not healed. You see that? So if you are building your intimacy based on the experience of God yesterday, based on the positive things God did, you can enjoy some impact tomorrow. But there are also other negative things that the devil can inject into your consciousness. So as beautiful as it is to build intimacy based on predominant happenings, as beautiful as it is to build intimacy based on your past experience of God, there is one place of absolute assurance if it is faith you are working with. That kind of intimacy is based on what is written. So there's intimacy based on context where you find yourself. There's intimacy based on previous experiences with God. But if it is faith, make sure in addition to those two, it is what is written. That's why Jesus himself, when the devil met him, He's the word. But he said, it is written. It is written. The disciples said, knowing this first, no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. He said, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. Why was Peter saying this? Peter said, we were at the mountain of transfiguration. We saw the highest dimension of revelational experience. But we will not compare it with the scripture. It is written will be constant. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of my word will pass away. So it's good to build your faith based on what the Christians around you are doing. You will know God. We pray here. So if you come, through prayer, you will know God. We preach the word of God here. So through hearing the word, you will know God. But you must know God beyond what we are doing here. Because what we are doing here is not all God is about. This is the lead to God has shown us. Are you seeing that? Now, you have seen God do something for you yesterday. But you must know God beyond those experiences. The way to walk with God and not fluctuate is to function by it is written. When I check the fathers of old, their faith is built on the revelation of the word. You see a man who has raised the dead, he will come and stay on scripture. You see a man who prophesied with his eyes open, he will come and stay on scripture. Because they know experiences can fluctuate. Whether it is corporate or personal in the past, it can fluctuate. So in order for your walk with God not to fluctuate, stay with what is written. Because this one can never change. I was listening to John Austin, the father of Joel Austin. If it comes to service, the first thing they do is they carry their Bible and they have a mantra. They will say, I am what the word says I am. I have what the word says I have. I can do what the word says I can do. I must be taught by the word daily. My heart is open to receive the word. I will never be the same again. That's how they start service. To let you know that whatever experience you see here, the word is superior. Because experiences can change. But the word will never change. So intimacy built on faith can begin from corporate experience of your context. It can also be based on the faithfulness of God in the past. But make sure you transit it to what the word says. The more you accept what the word says and become what the word says, the closer you will become with God. The richer your intimacy with God will be. That's why you must not build intimacy based on context alone. Most of you who are here, you love my walk with God. You do things the way I do things. But even me that you are looking at, I am grossly deficient. Another man of God can walk here, and what he has with God will dwarf everything I have with God. So if you think all we are doing here is what intimacy is about, it means you are already limited before you started. And if you leave us here and go to another aspect of the body of Christ, you will see that probably everything we believe here, they don't even do it. There are places where they come, they just lift holy hands, worship God, sit down, teach the word of God. And as they are teaching the word of God, people cross their legs. They understand it in simple English. When they finish, they clap hands and worship God, give offering and go home. And there are people there who know God. Meanwhile, here we are praying like warriors. We are praying. And when we are teaching the word, we are teaching with temper and fire. They will now think, intimacy, you have left intimacy. Now you are in gesticulation. You are in charisma. And you can master the charisma and not know God. Why am I teaching you this? So you don't limit your walk with God. Because you can become like the environment, but you will miss God. And that's what's happening in the apostolic move now. You see people preaching, they are preaching in a certain way. Because every lead apostle in the move has his own charisma. So people are now patterning themselves after charisma, but they don't know God. When you deal with them closely, you discover these people, they are far from God. And that's what the Pharisees did in their time. Because the goal of the Pharisees is acceptance and popularity. Jesus looked at them and said, you travel land and sea to make one proselyte and turn him to a disciple of hair twice. Because now we don't even care whether people are growing. So long as they are mimicking us and acting like us, we are in order. That's not intimacy. You may begin from there, but the way you know you are growing in God and building your relationship with God is begin to resemble the scripture. It is written must become your own experience. That's intimacy by faith. And finally, it's intimacy by consecration. Intimacy by consecration has three cadres. The first cadre is prayer and the word. Acts chapter 6 verse 4. It says we will not give ourselves to tables, but to prayer and the ministry of the word. And I've taught you a lot on prayer. I've taught you a lot on the word. So you know what that means. The second aspect of intimacy by consecration is a life of purity. And purity in this context, majorly, is sexual purity and purity with finances. If your walk with God is intact, you'll discover that your sexual propensities will be curtailed. The moment your walk with God is affected, your emotions start going haywire. And because of money, you start compromising. So when a man is growing with God in intimacy by consecration, one of the indicators that shows that his intimacy is intact is that his sexual thoughts and sexual life will be pure. And his dealings with money will be pure. There will be no compromise. And finally, intimacy by consecration is reflected in service. When your intimacy with God is growing, your passion for the work of God will be growing. The moment your intimacy goes down, the things of God becomes difficult. Some of you who are going out every Saturday for soul winning, you don't know that is fire burning in you. If that fire goes down, you'll be shocked. You want to go out on Saturday, you'll be so tired. I see some of you, you go out to neighborhood, you carry microphones, you are preaching, you are not even ashamed. It's fire, it's intimacy that is pushing you. If that intimacy becomes weak, you'll discover that you can't go out anymore. You just hear that God say, give, you give, you give, you don't think, you are giving. It's fire. When that fire goes down, you can't give that seed you are giving anymore. So when people are serving, it is actually a revelation of intimacy. Now, why is this important? So that you know that it's not only when you are praying loud that you are intimate with God. When you are intimate with God, it also reveals by your passion to serve Him. Why do you think somebody can come, clean everywhere, arrange the chairs, wait, attend service, service finishes, he packs the chair, and he's not tired? There's a fire burning on his inside. Ask somebody else who is not on fire for God to go out and win souls. I remember those days, I was in 100 level. One brother won't let me rest. The moment it's 5 a.m., he will just come and tap all the disciples and say, let's go and pray. What kind of thing is this? I became so offended at this brother. So the moment it's 4:30, I will stand up and go and lie down under the bunk somewhere else. So he will come and look for me. He won't find me. It was a burden to go out because that 4:30 to 6, that's when the air blows. The trees are moving. You feel yourself. And this guy will come and drag us. We'll go and stay in one garden, praying in tongues. I said, this man doesn't mean well for me. When I dodged him for 3 weeks, he became tired. He will see me and say, before he talks, I say, sir, I'm coming to your room later. Let's connect. For I'm not coming anywhere. I've gone my way. But the same you now, you wake up in the morning, you are praying in tongues. You are going in the night, you are praying in tongues. Every week you are preaching, every week. Tell yourself, give yourself a timetable. Tell yourself, for the next 4 weeks, I will go out for evangelism twice a week and see if you can keep it. If you can keep it for 4 weeks, it means you are on fire for God. I'm telling you. Why? Because some of you may think because you are fasting, you are on fire. There are different dimensions of intimacy. If you have passion for God, the work of God will become easy. I remember those days when we were in Christ Embassy. When we go to church, when we finish serving, because our cell members need transport, we will have to carry our money and give them. Because if they trek home, they won't come the next service. We will not give them money. We will not trek home. The other time, I trekked home over 4 kilometers. When I came home, I was so tired. I fell on the rug. I couldn't stand up to remove my shoe because of the tiredness. A scorpion beat me twice, stung me twice at the back. I couldn't even wake up. My back squashed the scorpion. When I now woke up in the morning and saw the scorpion, I quickly snapped it. It was a trophy. I said, they shall step upon serpents and scorpions. You will not feel bad. There is fire. But when a man does not have intimacy with God, if he comes, if you even complain, he's offended, he has left. I'm not doing again. You need to give them 5 phone calls before they join you for evangelism. Just know that there's no intimacy there. But when a man has intimacy, he will even come before the leader. Because intimacy is reflected through service. If you study the scripture, you will find it. In Mark 16:17, Jesus told them to go out. These signs will follow them. And in Mark 16:20, he said, "Lo, I'm with you." So when a man is serving, God is with him. In Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, he said, "Go into all the world." And he said, "I'll be with you until the end of the age." So if you serve God, there is a fire burning. In 2 Timothy 4:5, he said, "Do the works of an evangelist." For those of you who preach regularly, try it and see. If your prayer fire goes down, or your word fire goes down, or your fasting goes down, you'll be shocked. Even when it's service time, you won't feel like coming. Try it and see how it works. When you start preaching every week, maybe once a week, if anything happens to your sexual purity, if anything happens to your prayer life, if anything happens to your study life, you will be shocked. You will hate coming to preach. If it's time to preach, you will start looking for every excuse. That's why you see most pastors who are not on fire, every Sunday they are looking for somebody to come and preach. They are so tired with the preaching the word of God. Because service is powered by intimacy. Bow your heads and pray. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to help you. There's a revelation based intimacy. First of all, it's about the position of God. So you are talking proximity between you and God. You have a revelation of proximity. God in heaven, God in men, and then ultimately God in you. And then you have a revelational knowledge of God, from a scientific understanding of God to an awareness of God to an experience of God, then to an application of God, and ultimately to a state and a place where you can prove everything God says He is in your own life. So you have gnosis, you have idol, you have epignosis, you have ginosko, and you have dokimazo. They are levels of revelational knowledge of God. And then you come to faith-based intimacy. Intimacy that is based on your exercise of your faith, based on the location you found yourself. If you meet prophetic people, intimacy is prophesied. If you meet healing people, intimacy is healing. If you meet prayer people, intimacy is prayer. But you need to move beyond your context and begin to know God's faithfulness in your own life. And many times, you will now start tracing your intimacy to God's faithfulness in the past. But even that one is not enough, because your experience is fluctuating. Intimacy by faith is based on the revelation of the word. You must come to a point where what the word says is your personal experience. It means by faith you have known Him. And then you have intimacy based on service. And when it has to do based on consecration, and when it has to do with consecration, it is prayer, fasting, and the word. And then it migrates to purity, sexual purity, financial purity. And then it migrates to, finally, service. Fire! Jesus said, "The zeal of my Father's house has consumed me." So the reason you go there is because God draws you. It's not the activity necessarily, it's the drawing of the Spirit. By the time you get here, then you can enjoy the full benefits of intimacy. And I gave you 5 of them. I said intimacy increases the quality of your life, because when you know Him, you have life. Number 2, I said intimacy provokes transformation and transfiguration. Number 3, I said intimacy confers upon you dominion. Number 4, I said intimacy brings direction and productivity. And number 5, I said intimacy causes you to walk in the fullness of God. All of this can be yours, but you have to journey and grow in all of the dimensions of intimacy. Ah, 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 ah.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, Amen. If you just said this prayer, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.